the program you are about to hear is not an ordinary radio program. This program deals with facts and ideas that the controlled media don't want you to know. But it is precisely what they don't want you to know that you, dear listener, most desperately need to know. For there is a war being waged against our nation, our race, and our civilization. A war which Americans and Europeans are losing. Losing because of lack of knowledge. Prepare yourself for a challenging and truly educational experience. Broadcasting from the studios of National Vanguard Books to listeners on every continent, this is American Dissident Voices.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Today, we will be discussing the precipitous decline of America, economic, racial, cultural, and social, that has taken place since the Second World War. We're going to be delving into the real causes of this decline, the causes that the liars of the controlled media and the bought politicians aren't allowed to tell you. We'll be covering some issues that make many people very uncomfortable. But they are issues which must be faced if we are to save our country from a future of poverty, violence, degradation, and foreign rule. Rule which is even now being fastened upon us. I'll be talking today with Dr. William Pierce, chairman of the Patriotic National Alliance, and director of National Vanguard Books, the organization which sponsors this program. Prepare to have your assumptions challenged as we enter into forbidden territory on American Dissident Voices. American Dissident Voices, brought to you by National Vanguard Books. With the excitement of the election behind us now, Dr. Pierce, what do you see ahead for Americans during the next 4 years?
More of the same, Kevin.
You mean you think the recession will continue?
Actually, I didn't mean that. I meant that America will remain on the same downward course she's been on since the Second World War. I can't predict the little ups and downs of the economy, but I can predict that so long as certain very fundamental flaws remain in our society, we'll continue going from bad to worse in the long run. Whether the so-called economic indicators that the government publishes from time to time go up or down, whether we temporarily pull out of the present recession or not, economic life for the average white American will become bleaker in the years ahead. Worse, his social life will become more sterile, his cultural life more debased. Worst of all, his spiritual life, his view of his own meaning and purpose, will continue to shrivel.
My, you're not very positive today, are you? Can you explain your gloomy prediction for us? Can you tell us just what you mean? Give us the details when you say that life for white Americans will continue to become worse. In what way will the economy become worse, for example?
The economy will become worse in that the average white family will work longer and harder for a smaller reward, for fewer of the necessities of life, for less security, for a meaner lifestyle than before. The average standard of living, in other words, will continue to decline just as it has during the past few years. And this is something which absolutely did not depend on the outcome of the recent election. Both Clinton and Bush have been supporters of globalizing the U.S. economy. They both have been boosters of the New World Order, in other words. They both support the removal of trade barriers with Mexico, for example, which will just accelerate the export of American industry and American jobs to Mexico, simply because wages are much lower there. The effect of this, of course, will be gradually to raise wages in Mexico while they are pulled down in the United States. But then that's the whole rationale behind the push for globalization, the push for the New World Order, isn't it? Equalize living standards around the world. Lift up the poor non-whites in the third world and drag down the rich whites. Give everyone a fair share of industry and the wealth which goes with it. Break down national and racial barriers. Homogenize the world economically, racially, culturally. That's the idea which has been pushed inexorably and unceasingly by the controlled media ever since the Second World War. The controlled media have made this idea of globalization fashionable. They've made it a politically correct idea. And therefore, no one in the controlled political establishment in this country, whether Democrat or Republican, dares oppose it.
So it's this bipartisan push for a global economy which leads you to predict that the U.S. economy will continue to decline, no matter which party is in the White House.
That's one of the reasons, and it's an important reason, but there are also others. There is the continuing, unchecked flood of non-white immigration into America, for example. There's the continued policy of favoritism shown to non-whites in university admissions, in the awarding of scholarships, in hiring, and in promotions. And there's the growing burden of supporting an unproductive and largely non-white welfare class. All of these reasons for future economic decline are thoroughly entrenched. They're long-term and they're bipartisan reasons, which is to say that they are politically correct, and so neither the Democrats nor the Republicans dare do anything about them. Can you imagine either a Democrat or a Republican proposing that we cut off all non-white immigration into the United States and try to restore America as a white country? Can you imagine one of them proposing that the government should no longer provide any support to the millions of inner city residents now on welfare and should use all necessary force to maintain order if they don't like it? There's no more chance of that than there is of either a Democrat or a Republican president announcing that the New World Order is a scheme intended to reduce the white American worker to the same level as the Mexican peon and the Chinese coolie, and that we'll have no part of it. And because there's simply no chance that the controlled political establishment in this country, Democrat or Republican, will address or even admit the existence of the fundamental reasons for the declining living standard of Americans, I can predict with complete confidence that the economy will continue to decline over the long run. There are various paper shuffling tricks, of course, fiddling with interest rates, changing the tax structure, rearranging the federal budget, which can make temporary changes in the economy, apparent changes, but they can't cure this country's real economic problems.
That's interesting. But the so-called economic experts that we hear on the controlled media disagree with you completely. They tell us that this recession is just a little anomaly, a little readjustment, and that over the long run, everything's rosy. They say that the globalization of our economy is helping America by allowing us to export more of our products. They say that the non-white immigration is boosting our economy by providing us with needed skills and eager workers. Here's a recent issue of Business Week. The headline on the cover says, "The Immigrants, How They're Helping the U.S. Economy." Are these media experts wrong?
Yes, they're wrong, and what's worse, they know they're wrong. They're deliberately lying to us, deliberately misleading us, just as much as the politicians are. It doesn't take a genius to see what's happened to the economy of this country since the Second World War. The experts rave about the benefits the New World Order is bringing to us by allowing us to increase our exports. But the cold, hard reality is that globalization has brought us an enormous trade deficit. The fact is that it has wiped out whole industries in this country and exported them overseas. The consumer electronics industry, for example, or the machine tool industry. The fact, not the theory, is that millions of Americans are being forced to switch from high-paying jobs in manufacturing and basic industry to low-paying service jobs. The fact is that before the Second World War, most American families needed only one wage earner to keep them comfortable and secure. Wives and mothers could stay at home and take care of their families. Today, of course, most mothers have to work outside the home. The fact is that our economy isn't getting better and better. It's actually getting sicker and sicker.
You keep referring to the changes which have taken place in the economy since the Second World War. Why do you keep referring to that? What does the war have to do with it?
The Second World War really has everything to do with it. It was, after all, an ideological war. One could almost say a religious war. A war between two fundamentally different worldviews. On one side were the believers in quality over quantity, the elitists, the believers that white people, Europeans, are more progressive, are better able to maintain an advanced civilization, and should hold on to their position of world mastery. On the other side were the believers in quantity over quality, the egalitarians, the believers in racial and cultural equality, the people who thought it was wicked for the United States to remain a white country, wicked for white Britain to have a world empire, wicked for white Germany to be allowed to smash communism, wicked to permit nationalism to triumph over internationalism. And the fact is that the egalitarians won the war. After the Second World War, white Americans could no more justify keeping hordes of hungry non-white immigrants out of their country than white Englishmen could justify hanging on to the British Empire. They had cut the moral ground right out from under themselves.
Well, that's not the way it was presented to Americans back in the 40s. We were all taught that we went to war to keep America free, that we were fighting against tyranny, that we were fighting on the side of decency and justice.
Nonsense. We were fighting on the side of the folks who marched the entire leadership stratum of the Polish nation into the woods and murdered them. And the people who control our news and entertainment media knew that too. When the German army discovered those huge pits full of murdered Polish officers and intellectuals, they called in the world press to look at the evidence. But the controlled media kept it quiet so that we would keep fighting on the side of the murderers. After the war, they blamed it on the Germans. And there was nary a squawk from the controlled media when we turned the surviving Poles and the Hungarians and the Balts and all the rest of the Eastern Europeans over to the same gang of cutthroats who had butchered Poland's leaders in 1940. Of course, it made sense in a sick sort of way. After all, murdering a nation's elite is an egalitarian act. After you kill off the most intelligent, the most able members of a nation, the ones who are left will be more nearly equal.
And easier to control?
Yes, but the point is that the reasons given to the American people for getting into the war against Germany were all spurious. It wasn't a war to keep America free. Americans weren't in the slightest danger of losing their freedom to the Germans. It was, as I said, an ideological war. It was a war about what kind of ideas would govern the world. It was a war about whether we would be proud and white and strong, or whether we would feel guilty about the fact that Mexican peons aren't as well off as we are. And we lost the war. That was a real turning point in the fortunes of our race and our nation. The loss of the Second World War is the real reason for the decline of the U.S. economy and of our social life, our cultural life, and our spiritual life. Before the war, we had a white country, a country determined to stay white. After the war, we no longer had that determination. Instead, we had the vague feeling that it was wrong of us to want to stay white. After the war, when the controlled media began pushing for so-called civil rights laws and for opening our borders to the third world, it was just a continuation of their push to get us into the war on the side of the people who had made Poland a more equal country by slaughtering her leaders at the killing pits in the Katyn Woods. We don't really have time today, unfortunately, to trace the whole process of the breakdown of America after the war, but we can look at a few examples which more or less tell the story. We've been talking about the economy, but it's really our whole society which has been corrupted by the war, by the ideology for which the war was fought. Think, for example, about what life is becoming for the millions of white Americans who still live in our cities, especially those cities with a large minority contingent. We're no longer the masters in our own land, and we're paying the price for that decline in status. Crime has soared enormously in our cities and has made life a daily nightmare for millions who cannot move away. Even for those who live in the suburbs and only must work in the cities during the day, crime has become an ever-present constraint, a burden, a limit to their lives. City streets, which once were safe for white women and men, by night as well as by day, are now like minefields where we must proceed with caution and be always on guard. Now we know who makes our streets unsafe. We know against whom we are obliged to bar our windows. We know whom we must fear if our cars run out of gas or break down at night. And these are the same people whose welfare support imposes such an intolerable burden on our strained economy. And it's interesting that the government cannot solve our crime problem for exactly the same reason that it cannot solve our economic problem. It cannot address the causes. It cannot even admit the existence of the causes because those causes are politically incorrect. Just as the government economists talk about interest rates and budget adjustments, but dare not speak of the effects of globalism on our economy, the sociologists talk about poverty as the cause of urban crime, but dare not mention that crime in America today is above all else a racial problem. Or look at what our schools have become, or look at popular entertainment. You know what the purpose of a school should be? It should not be just to pound facts into the heads of children so they can earn a living. It should be to mold them into good citizens. It should be to teach them about their roots, about their ancestors, about their race. It should be to give them a sense of identity, a feeling of solidarity with their people, a feeling of appreciation for the civilization which their people created. It should be to teach them the values and customs which are peculiar to their people. But most of the schools in America's cities cannot do these things. They're not even permitted to try to do these things because these things are all profoundly racist, the control media tell us. The only kind of school which can teach meaningfully about roots and identity is a school which is racially homogeneous. But such schools were outlawed by our government after the Second World War because they are contrary to the principles for which that war was fought. When our kids turn to drugs today, when they learn anti-white rap lyrics from the television, when they think Magic Johnson is a hero and say upon meeting a friend, "Hey man, give me five," we're paying the price of the war. I said a few minutes ago that the worst aspect of the breakdown of America was not what's happened to our economy, but what's happened to our spiritual life, to our morale, to our idealism, to our character. White Americans haven't become more stupid in the last 50 years. Most of the people listening to this program understand exactly what I'm saying. They didn't really need me to point it out to them. They can see it for themselves all around them. It doesn't take a genius to understand why our schools aren't working or why the New World Order will hurt Americans as the price of making Mexicans and Chinese more prosperous. But it does take just a tiny bit of courage to stand up and say these things when we've had it drummed into our heads that we always must be politically correct. The people listening to this program have for years been watching America being torn down. They have seen the effects of egalitarianism, of liberalism on our society. They have seen one liberal program after another make things worse and worse. And they have listened to the controlled media and the controlled politicians tell them that what's needed to fix things is more of the same. And they've thought to themselves, this is crazy. But they've been afraid to say that out loud. They've been afraid to say, "Hey, look, Joe, the emperor doesn't have any clothes on." And it's my considered opinion that this timidity, this willingness to go along with every new insanity imposed on us by the media and the politicians, even when we know it's unnatural and immoral and destructive of everything worthwhile, this is a spiritual failure. This spiritual failure, this willingness to tolerate evil, is a more serious matter in my eyes than our economic decline. When we're able to heal ourselves spiritually, we'll be able to heal ourselves economically and socially, but not before.
But is this spiritual failure entirely the fault of the American people? You've repeatedly referred to the controlled media as the principal promoters of the ideology which is at the root of our problems. Aren't they to blame? Aren't the people who control the media responsible for what's happening to America? And by the way, who are these media controllers?
Well, I think we all know who wields more control over the news and entertainment media than any other group. It's the Jews. And yes, they deserve a great deal of blame, but not all the blame, perhaps not even most of it. After all, they're only acting in accord with their nature. They're doing what they always do when they come into a country. We shouldn't have let them do it. We should have stopped them when they were taking over Hollywood 75 years ago. We should have stopped them when they began buying up newspapers back before the Second World War. After the war, we shouldn't have let them get anywhere near a television studio. But we didn't stop them. And the blame for that really lies with those who have set themselves up as our political leaders. They sold us out. They sold out America. They sold out their race. When our kids are exposed to the god-awful anti-white rap musicals from MTV, should we blame the Jewish owner of MTV, Mr. Redstone? Or should we blame the politicians in Washington who let him get away with it? Personally, I'd go after the politicians first.
I see your point. Tell us, Dr. Pierce, do you think there's any hope that white Americans will ever go after the politicians who are betraying them? Do you think they will ever regain enough spiritual strength to stand up and say, "Hey, the emperor is naked"?
I do. I believe that one day they'll be shouting it from the housetops. More people are angry today about what their government is doing to America than at any time since the Second World War. As time passes, their numbers and their anger will grow. That's inevitable because the policies of the controlled media and the government are making America an unlivable place. The condition of the economy helps too. I would really be worried if I thought that the politicians could patch up the economy enough to lull people back to sleep. But I know that they can't. I know that conditions can only become worse and worse under the policies which come from Washington, regardless of who's in the White House. And this is what gives me hope for the future. When the pain becomes great enough, anger and frustration will overcome the fear of being politically incorrect, even for the most timid white American.
Americans rightly distrust the bought politicians and media prostitutes, and they are desperately in need of facts, desperately in need of an organization that can coordinate their individual patriotic efforts. Providing those facts and that coordination are the purposes of American Dissident Voices and the National Alliance. We need your generous help to continue these efforts. If just 1% of our radio audience would send us a gift of $25 this week, we could literally double our radio coverage overnight. And on top of that, we could publish several new books to increase our outreach to the reading public. I'm going to make you a special offer this week. Send us a contribution of at least $25, as much as you can afford, and I'll send you a copy of our giant, large format, 216-page book containing all the best articles from our newspaper over a 12-year period, entitled The Best of Attack and National Vanguard Tabloid. It's a virtual encyclopedia of history and politics. It chronicles in minute detail the subversion of America and holds out the promise of a patriotic cleansing and renewal. It is extensively illustrated and documented. To get your free copy, just send a donation of $25 or more to keep us on the air and ask for Radio Offer Number 4. You must request Radio Offer Number 4. And remember, no corporations or foundations or grants of tax money are funding our work. America's enemies have a monopoly on that money. We depend solely on patriots like you. This is Kevin Alfred Strom saying thanks, and I'll see you next week on American Dissident Voices. This program is copyright 1992 by National Vanguard Books. American Dissident Voices explores issues of concern to American patriots and to patriots of our European civilization around the world.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.
It is hoped that our listeners worldwide will gain an increased understanding of American and international political forces and events, and will use the knowledge gained thereby to promote the nationalism that alone can bring peace and freedom to the diverse nations and peoples of this planet. Please support our efforts to bring a voice of truth and sanity to the airwaves. We cannot stay on the air without your help. Please write today. Always mention the call sign of this station when you write. If you'd like to receive a copy of our big book catalog for patriots, containing over 300 books, audio cassettes, and videos that the censors of political correctness don't want you to see, then send $1 to National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. Our international listeners may send two international reply coupons in lieu of the $1. If you're a student or unemployed or disabled, we'll send you the catalog for free. Write to National Vanguard Books, Department R, Post Office Box 90, Hillsboro, West Virginia, 24946, USA. This program is pre-recorded and comes to you from the United States of America. Thank you.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes will rise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil.
Shout.